Commodius, a brief history of tomorrow. Where has all the power gone? Political scientists also increasingly interpret human political structures as data processing systems. Like capitalism and communism, so democracies and dictatorships are in essence competing mechanisms for gathering and analyzing information. Dictatorships use centralized processing methods, whereas democracies prefer distributed processing. In the last decades, democracy gained the upper hand because, under the unique conditions of the late 20th century, distributed processing worked better. Under alternative conditions, those prevailing in the ancient Roman Empire, for instance, centralized processing had an edge, which is why the Roman Republic fell and power shifted from the Senate and popular assemblies into the hands of a single autocratic emperor. This implies that as data processing conditions change again in the 21st century, democracy might decline and even disappear. As both the volume and speed of data increase, venerable institutions like elections, parties, and parliaments might become obsolete, not because they're unethical, but because they don't process data efficiently enough. These institutions evolved in an era when politics moved faster than technology. In the 19th and 20th century, the Industrial Revolution unfolded slowly enough for politicians and voters to remain one step ahead of it and regulate and manipulate its course. Yet whereas the rhythm of politics has not changed much since the days of steam, technology has switched from first gear to fourth. Technological revolutions now outpace political processes, causing MPs and voters alike to lose control. The rise of the internet gives us a taste of things to come. Cyberspace is now crucial for our daily lives, our economy, and our security. Yet the critical choices between alternative web designs were not taken through a democratic political process, even though they involved traditional political issues such as sovereignty, borders, privacy, and security. Did you ever vote about the shape of cyberspace? Decisions made by web designers far from the public limelight mean that today the internet is a free and lawless zone that erodes state sovereignty, ignores borders, abolishes privacy, and poses perhaps the most formidable global security risk. Whereas a decade ago it hardly registered on the radar, today hysterical officials are predicting an imminent cyber 9/11. Governments and NGOs consequently conduct intense debates about restructuring the internet, but it is much harder to change an existing system than to intervene at its inception. Besides, by the time the cumbersome government bureaucracy makes up its mind about cyber regulation, the internet has morphed 10 times. The governmental turtle cannot keep up with the technological hare. It is overwhelmed by data. The NSA may be spying on your every word, but to judge by the repeated failures of American foreign policy, nobody in Washington knows what to do with all the data. Never in history did a government know so much about what's going on in the world. Yet few empires have botched things up as clumsily as the contemporary United States. It's like a poker player who knows what cards his opponent holds, yet somehow still manages to lose round after round. In the coming decades, it is likely that we will see more internet-like revolutions, in which technology steals a march on politics. Artificial intelligence and biotechnology might soon overhaul our societies and economies, and our bodies and minds too, but they are hardly a blip on our political radar. Our current democratic structures just cannot collect and process the relevant data fast enough, and most voters do not understand biology and cybernetics well enough to form any pertinent opinions. Hence, traditional democratic politics loses control of events and fails to provide us with meaningful visions for the future. That does not mean we will go back to 20th century style dictatorships. Authoritarian regimes seem to be equally overwhelmed by the pace of technological development and the speed and volume of the data flow. In the 20th century, dictators had grand visions for the future. Communists and fascists alike sought to completely destroy the old world and build a new world in its place. Whatever you think about Lenin, Hitler, or Mao, you cannot accuse them of lacking vision. Today, it seems that leaders have a chance to pursue even grander visions. While communists and Nazis try to create a new society and a new human with the help of steam engines and typewriters, today's prophets could rely on biotechnology and supercomputers. In science fiction films, ruthless Hitler-like politicians are quick to pounce on such new technologies, putting them to the service of this or that megalomaniac political ideal. Yet, flesh-and-blood politicians in the early 21st century, even in authoritarian countries such as Russia, Iran, or North Korea are nothing like their Hollywood counterparts. They don't seem to plot any brave new world. The wildest dream of Kim Jong-un and Ali Khamenei don't go much beyond atom bombs and ballistic missiles. That is so 1945. Putin's aspirations seem confined to rebuilding the old Soviet zone or the even older Tsarist empire. Meanwhile, in the USA, paranoid Republicans accuse Barack Obama of being a ruthless despot hatching conspiracies to destroy the foundations of American society. Yet in 8 years of presidency, he barely managed to pass a minor healthcare reform. Creating new worlds and new humans is far beyond his agenda. Precisely because technology is now moving so fast and parliaments and dictators alike are overwhelmed by data they cannot process quickly enough, present-day politicians are thinking on a far smaller scale than their predecessors a century ago. In the early 21st century, politics is consequently bereft of grand visions. Government has become mere administration. It manages the country, but it no longer leads it. It makes sure teachers are paid on time and sewage systems don't overflow, but it has no idea where the country will be in 20 years. To some extent, this is a very good thing, given that some of the big political visions of the 20th century led us to Auschwitz, Hiroshima, and the Great Leap Forward. Maybe we're better off in the hands of petty-minded bureaucrats. Mixing godlike technology with megalomaniac politics is a recipe for disaster. Many neoliberal economists and political scientists argue that it is best to leave all the important decisions in the hands of the free market. They thereby give politicians the perfect excuse for inaction and ignorance, which are reinterpreted as profound wisdom. Politicians find it convenient to believe that the reason they don't understand the world is that they need not understand it. Yet mixing godlike technology with myopic politics also has its downside. Lack of vision isn't always a blessing, and not all visions are necessarily bad. In the 20th century, the dystopian Nazi vision did not fall apart spontaneously. It was defeated by the equally grand visions of socialism and liberalism. It is dangerous to trust our future to market forces, because these forces do what's good for the market rather than what's good for humankind or for the world. The head of the market is blind as well as invisible, and left to its own devices, it may fail to do anything about the threat of global warming or the dangerous potential of artificial intelligence. Some people believe that there is somebody in charge after all, not democratic politicians or autocratic despots, but rather a small coterie of billionaires who secretly run the world. But such conspiracy theories never work, because they underestimate the complexity of the system. A few billionaires smoking cigars and drinking scotch in some back room cannot possibly understand everything happening on the globe, let alone control it. Ruthless billionaires and small interest groups flourish in today's chaotic world not because they read the map better than anyone else, but because they have very narrow aims. In a chaotic system, tunnel vision has its advantages, and the billionaire's power is strictly proportional to their goals. If the world's richest man would like to make another $1 billion, he could easily game the system in order to achieve his goal. In contrast, if he would like to reduce global inequality or stop global warming, even he won't be able to do it because the system is far too complex. Yet power vacuums seldom last long. If in the 21st century, traditional political structures can no longer process the data fast enough to produce meaningful visions, then new and more efficient structures will evolve to take their place. These new structures may be very different from any previous political institutions, whether democratic or authoritarian. The only question is, who will build and control these structures? If humankind is no longer up to the task, perhaps it might give somebody else a try.